You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com Radio on the International Community Radio Network.
Yes, hello. This is Detlef of Wake News Radio, Wake News TV, in our United We Strike Radio Marathon, and we are at the end of our show today, which does not mean we are closing down here our show, but we've got another 1.5 hours of interesting discussion with all our guests and hosts who were participating today, who could be available for this part of the show, the round table. So let's see who's present. It's Alan and Steve from OYM Radio. Are you
present there? Present and correct.
On shot, as we say in Ireland.
Yeah, and it's also Michael. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I was on the spot.
Yeah, and it's Thomas.
Yes, Thomas, I'm here.
Had you here with Steve and Alan.
Yes.
We're still waiting for Karen. She's busy at the moment, but she will join a little later. I'm not sure whether Mark Anderson will be able to make it because he had other appointments to meet. And Andrew is also missing. I don't know whether Andrew can make it. Maybe a little later. He's busy right now, I think. Well, but nevertheless, we are men enough.
And we have Jay there as well, Detlef.
Oh, Jay. Yes, sorry, Jay. I almost forgot you, to mention you.
No
Jay
problem.
Already was in the show as well with Karen. So, yeah, let us start. Usually the roundtable is the most interesting part of our United We Strike, isn't it, Alan?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm never around. Normally, when you did the round table before, it was very late because we passed over from Switzerland to Ireland to the States, and it went on, and it was past my bedtime. So I never actually sat in on a round table. So this is my first round table.
All right. Same with you, Stephen, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's a very same, Detlef. I've never been part of the round table. I've sat at a square table once, but never been on the round table.
Yeah, okay. Karen will be joining us in a few minutes, so everything will be fine. Yeah, the purpose of a
I'm
round
I'm here.
Table, oh, yeah. Hi, Karen.
Okay. Hi. So Steve's just too square for the round table.
Well, that's it. Square peg in the round hole.
So, Karen, right. you are the most experienced round table participant we just discovered. So maybe you can explain to the audience and to our members here of the round table what the round table is about, and then why don't we get into it?
All right. Thank you, Detlef. Thank you, Jay, and let's see who else we have up here with us. So we've got everybody from earlier today. We've got Jay and Thomas. It's great, and Andrew and Mark. It's wonderful to have you here. And the roundtable, actually, what I'd like to do is make it more of an open roundtable so we can start just to really kick around some of these topics that are so interesting. So what I'd like us to do actually is to take turns going around the table and introducing ourselves, and once that's done, then I've got a quick question that I'll pop out there, and then we can all just start heading for it. So let's start with you, Thomas, if you would introduce yourself, and for the rest of you looking on Skype, maybe you can kind of go around the table there.
Yes, I'm Thomas Williams from the Truth, Honor, and Integrity Show, also the founder of the People's Club Foundation. We cover in our show most of the topics in alternative media. I have personal experience to do with ETs, and also a lot of other. We cover most of the issues in the alternative media on the 3-hour shows, which is every Thursday.
Thank you. Andrew.
Well, I think we haven't got Andrew yet.
No, we've Jay and Michael, Karen.
Okay. Well, Jay and Mark. Okay. Well, Mark.
Mark isn't there either yet.
Ah, so we got Jay. Well, this will still be good.
Sorry.
All right. Hi, Jay.
My name is Jay Parker. I am a Monarch Mind Control overcomer. I am a member of the Free Your Mind Conference. I've been there for since its inception, and on YouTube there are like five of my talks. I grew up in an Illuminati family, but I never went cult. I rebelled against everything they stand for my entire life. All I can say is, if we want to change the paradigm, we have to change our subconscious, because that's what's the main driver of this paradigm. But I must say, you know, as far as great topics to talk about, cannabis and the fact that 17 million people are dying of cancer every year, needlessly, is a great topic. Also, we should also talk about the vaccination campaign to lobotomize chemically the higher consciousnesses, which are now manifesting in this planet.
Great, great. All right, now Steve.
Okay, Stephen George is my name. I'm a co-host with Open Your Mind Internet Radio, along with Alan James. We've been on a journey. Both of us were on kind of separate journeys, and the universe obviously brought us together. We've been doing Open Your Mind, trying to educate people and open their minds to what's been going on for almost 7 years now. We've had some absolutely fantastic guests on our show. I believe the universe has brought them all to us. A lot of people that we've had on our shows, other people couldn't even get them, and they agreed to come on our show and share their wisdom and their knowledge with us and on the Irish audience. Well, I suppose the global audience, but you know, because we're in Ireland, it's more likely the Irish audience. It's been a fantastic journey. We've met a lot of like-minded people, both on behind the microphone and also in person as well. We've met up with people who've been targeted individuals. We were able to meet up with other online people from the marathon, like Jesse Beltran. We were able to learn how to do the scanning for the RFID implants, and it's just been a fantastic journey, and we don't know where tomorrow is going to bring us, but it's brought us here today, and I'm just glad to be part of the marathon.
All right, and then it seems like Andrew has been able to join us. So, Andrew, please introduce yourself and just give us a few sentences there.
I think he's dropped.
He's dropped there, Karen.
Well, in that case, forget it. Alan, you want to go?
Yeah, I'm a co-host on Open Your Mind Radio with Steve, what Steve just said, everything Steve just said. But the whole idea with Open Your Mind Radio as well, it's about opening people's minds. And what we try and do is, we try and get people to raise the consciousness by challenging their belief system. And what we have put together on our YouTube channel, you can see, is called the Fluid Belief System. And it's based on the principle from Aristotle, where the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. People will always say they have an open mind, but when you challenge their belief system, a lot of the time they will close down. So what we try and do is educate people to open their mind and to be able to entertain information and ask for facts. And plus, the other thing we try and do is we try and educate people and say, we have to move. Most people are in a teenage mind, so they have to move our role, all our role. On our destination is to move from a teenage mind to the adult mind, and that's going from ego and ignorance to humility and wisdom. And when we get to that destination, the world will be a much better place, but we have a long way to go.
Hear, hear.
We do have a long way to go, and now we're going to go all the way over to Switzerland and talk to Detlef, who can introduce us then to his team member there. So it's back to you, Detlef.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Karen, and thanks all the other participants here. Well, I'm a long member here of United We Strike Radio Marathon. I was a co-founder, Karen. You were the first, and I joined early on. So we've been building this initiative, and I'm a host here in the German-speaking area with my Wake News Radio and Wake News TV. Mostly in German, obviously, but we do shows in English as well. So we try to wake up people and try to open the media, the free media, the new media,
for topics like that. So thanks for joining us. Okay.
Michael? Michael, you joined Detlef. How did that happen?
Well, actually, that was sort of like they call it the Monday demonstrations, where everybody could gather together and have talked what was up on their minds. And it happened every Monday evenings in a restaurant in Basel. We met together and then we could talk all about political issues, spiritual issues, world politic issues, all kinds of things that is of life's concern. And Detlef was there to report over these so-called Monday demonstrations. And, I've been studying philosophy and classical music. And since many years, I'm into Rudolf Steiner's Anthroposophy. And Rudolf Steiner is a spiritual teacher that is connecting, that tries to connect the feelings, our thoughts, our feeling life, and our willing life, and to use this as a key to enter the spiritual world and go in real and true contact with the godly self, with the higher self. And basically, the issue of Steiner is to reconnect our current physical state consciousness back to our cosmic consciousness. And that thought to me was very attractive. And that's what I try to do in my personal life as well.
Well, thank you all for joining. My name is Karen. I am one of the co-founders. It's just an old idea were the strikes that seemed to resonate. And so we built a team, thanks to Matt, who's taking a well-deserved break here. But our goal now is very different. And so I want to now throw out to the group what my main concern is. And I think, Jay, you started to touch on this. And actually, from now on, I think I'd like this to be the only real time that I so-called host, because I'd like us to just see if we can have a real live conversation and be respectful and not jump all over each other and really get to the bottom of some of these questions. Now, my question is to Jay, you'd already started talking about this a little bit with me, and Thomas was listening. So I want to see now, let's see Thomas, and then we'll kick it off after you answer. We'll see where it goes. Thomas, how do we best protect ourselves, our children, and life itself?
Well, we forgot Andrew here, so.
Oh, never mind. We did. What? Andrew's back. I'm sorry, Andrew. Okay, well, how about if we switch then? Andrew, why don't you introduce yourself and you get it going, and then we'll see where it goes.
I think you're looking at a different screen, Karen, eh?
I must be. Well, I put in a bunch of hours, and I've got a bunch of them going here, so.
Okay.
Hello. Yes, sir. Thank you for adding me in. I had a few problems getting connected on the roundtable for some reason. It's something at my end. But yes, I'm Andrew Johnson. I have run a website called checktheevidence.com and try to cover a range of topics, which I think obviously connect into what many of the speakers here are talking about. And I think, as has been a running theme in some of the discussion I've heard today, consciousness is the underlying aspect that seems to be at stake and be important to consider. And I came to realize that, I think, from a different angle to some of the other people here, because it's literally, you've talked about, you know, the cosmological angle, and that's what I started looking at back in 2003 when I was looking at the whole set of evidence to do with UFOs and aliens and flying saucers and all that sort of stuff. And that also connects into this as well. And it's not just a lot of crazy people that are hallucinating, and it's actually extremely important, and the powers that be know that. Carry on, whoever was going to speak next.
Well, okay, to you then, Andrew, how do we protect ourselves, our children, and life itself? What do you think is the most important place to start?
We have to start with yourself, a bit like when you're on an aircraft and they say put your own oxygen mask on before helping another person. I think you have got to get your own oxygen mask on and get your own psyche tuned in to the sorts of techniques that are being used to manipulate you. And once you've got a handle on that, then you become more empowered to point out to others what's going on. So the first thing to protect yourself is you gain knowledge. Knowledge is protection. I'll just leave it at that for this point. Gain knowledge. That's one of your first lines of defense and protection.
I just want to say that knowledge is a key to understanding the mind-controlled world that we live in. And when you get to the understanding that we live in a complete oligarch, dark occult-built civilization from top to bottom, and you look at the ancient teachings that have been removed from society worldwide, it's time to go back to source. That's it.
Yeah,
I agree with you. You talk from the bottom of my heart here. And I think that it's very important that we also don't take any orders from anybody, and that everything that we do with free will. That we know what we're doing and we do it wholeheartedly, and we don't let ourselves be manipulated. Even the manipulation today goes so far that even our own thoughts, which we think it is our own thoughts, can be manipulated. So we have to clean up our thinking life, our feeling life, and our actions, and really have self-knowledge. As the old Greek says, ton gnosein afton, that means know yourself, know thyself. It was written in the old Greek mystery. And I think that really there is a great deal of work. Jay, you mentioned it before. It's very important. And unfortunately, these negative forces, they try to grab us where our consciousness is not very well established, or we have weak points. So we have to be very vigilant of these attacks.
We've gotten to a place where we live in a electromagnetic sewer, and the morphogenic field is poisoned, and also we have cell towers, and we don't know, with the spraying and the nanotech and the cell towers, whether they're actually doing mind control through that system. Over.
Right.
I think that's very, very clear that this is the purpose with the HARP and also CERN. CERN in Geneva. I mean, we just learned that the director of CERN in Geneva attended the recent Bilderberger meeting. So most probably there was an update. And there are two very important dates this year, which is the sun eclipse. I think it was the 31st of August. 21st in August. And then the 23rd of September, when there's the alignment, which is sort of described in the John's Revelation. So, you know, maybe there's something coming up. I mean, they definitely recognize that we are sort of waking up, don't they?
I think so.
Thomas, do you want to jump in there?
From what I know and what I've been told, saying in Switzerland is no longer an issue. It was dealt with in August of 2015, so they couldn't achieve what they were set out to achieve. Now, the issue is there is other sense. The focus is all on that one, but that one in Switzerland is broken and will not. They can put out what they like for fear. It won't work. It won't work in the manner it was set up. It was dealt with in August of 2015. Now, people said before about the consciousness comes from the higher planes. And this is why I mentioned in a previous show about the two worlds, and people are starting to see the evidence that we're living in two separate worlds simultaneously currently, where we're looking at other people and thinking these people are just not in reality, and they're looking at us like we're not in reality. We're both vibrating at different frequencies, which is part of the galactic wave that's coming in, not wave X, the galactic wave that's coming in, that's changing the consciousness of the, not only of the living beings on it, but also the planetary being. That's the primary goal for it, is to change the vibratory frequency of the planets. And the cabal know this. They know it's coming. In essence, they've lost. And what's playing out now is, it's like chess. When you get checkmate, you can still, the loser can still make moves, but ultimately it's checkmate. And they're throwing all kinds of fear at us, Nibiru, and all kinds of other stuff. In essence, they've lost. And saying it, as I understand it, 100% is not the issue that it was set out. It was stopped.
How do you know that, Thomas? I mean, it'd be great to think that, but I recently posted a CERN update on my blog page that has them building what they are calling a stairway to heaven. So I'm interested as to, is there a way that we can validate that? Do you have links or something? Because
no, there is no links and there's no validation. This is the unfortunate part of it. And I do understand that. You know, people want websites to go to, but there's certain information that's known to individuals, not just me, there's many others involved, where information is passed in a manner that can't be validated. And this is part of the issue we're facing in the alternative community. Well, we want it verified. Well, how can you verify certain contacts? Because that's subjective to you. People who have been abducted, people like Jay, who have been used as a monarch, it's that truth is subjective to him. And how can he prove or validate what happened to him? Because he can't. And so it becomes rather difficult, and you can only go on over time when we've mentioned certain things on our show that this has been fixed, and suddenly the issue goes away and people forget about it, and then they'll bring it back in and people just won't listen anymore because the issue's been dealt with. So I can't validate it, but I do know that CERN in Switzerland was dealt with in August of 2015.
The CERN Hadron Collider, absolutely, when they switched it on, blew a gasket, so to speak. All I have to say is, you know, don't count the spirit of the Creator in all of this. I mean, we're looking at the dark occult and what they're doing, but if you really want to have a life on this planet, energy flows where attention goes. Keep your attention on the real prize, which is consciousness and getting your life with Source back together again. Forget all of it. If you're not putting consciousness as your number one priority and cleaning up from this mind control system, you're camping out. You're not living a life.
Well, I think, though, also speaking for myself, I've listened for years to the alternative news, and I've listened to New Age theories, and I've always had a very strong connection to spirit. So, but I've recently found, and this is through this book, Medical Medium, which is by Anthony William. Again, it's on my blog page, but that there's a lot more to our physical mechanisms than simply our mind and our spirit. We've got to take account that it's physical, because Jay, I was feeling guilty that, okay, because United We Strike didn't save the world and it's not doing anything and all these people are dying, I'm too empathetic to deal with it. And let's see, Thomas, I think you were talking about taking on the pain of the world. Well, it does hurt, but it turns out also that if you don't have the right building blocks inside of your body, if you're not giving it the right food, then you've got a much harder time connecting to spirit. And it's not that I wasn't praying every day and doing affirmations. And until I've just seen more of an energetic healer, I mean, an acupuncturist helped me. But I was a lot more ill than I let on. And I was on my way out. And actually, through this energetic healer, let me know that my body wanted to go out, but my spirit wanted to go out more. But I believe that's a cop-out, because it does seem like a very, very important time right now. And if with quantum physics and all the rest of it, that time doesn't exist, then if I heal myself now, I can also help heal my past and my future. And somehow, it's beyond me, but somehow, the collection of all of us thinking and hoping and tuning in and thinking with our hearts instead of our crotches or our heads and arguing with ourselves. But if we have heart-centered consciousness and we're allowing our bodies, I think it does start with your body. Celery juice now I'm drinking in the morning. This is only 3 days, but I'm feeling better and I'm not feeling guilty anymore about not being able to heal myself because of my own issues. Instead, I recognize that these other the heavy metals, the war against us from the sky, from the water, when we're all mainly water, you know, it's all to make us not be able to think. So it's very important, at least it was for me, to not only go within and connect, because I've been mentally connected for years, but I really had not, I had thought if I was mentally connected enough, I could tell my body, okay, it's okay if you eat this or you don't eat this. I thought that fasting was really good. If I was fasting, it would clear out the things that I wasn't able to do. And instead, I ended up almost killing myself with adrenal failure, because your body needs to take nutrition from someplace if it's not getting food. So I just want to make the point that it's extremely important to nourish our bodies with the right kind of food and understand that if we're going to survive, we need to take charge of our health and our lives. And if we're in charge of children, we need to also really look at what we're doing there and get into the vaccine thing. So I just want to make that point.
It's all about personal responsibility, Karen.
That's it. Can I just jump?
Yeah, sorry, go Tom. Ahead. No, you're okay.
No, I was just going to jump in with just what Karen said there. We've been, this is not a promo, by the way, but we've been asked to do a show in September. And we're going to, myself and Steve are going to be talking about the waking up process and the fluid belief system. And one of the things we're going to be saying is this event is on for 3 days, and we're going to have a whole load of speakers coming in there for the 3 days talking about all this information. But one of the things we're going to say about the waking up process is all this information is irrelevant if you're in the matrix, because people perceive it as we're nutters, our conspiracy theorists and our tinfoil hat people. So one of the things we've said on OIM is part of the whole raising our consciousness and waking up to what's going on is, does we just see it as three stages? I'm sure there's a lot more to it, but we've just broken it down to a very simple three stages where you're in the matrix, and then you wake up, and then you become aware, and then the third part is you become self-aware. Because once you become aware and realize what's going on and the way you've been fooled all this time from when you were inside the matrix, then you start, you should then start questioning who you are and what kind of being you are, and maybe the meaning of life and all this kind of stuff, all this philosophical stuff where you need to. Some people don't go to the self-aware. They don't go to that level. They stay on the aware level. And that's fine if that's their path and that's how far they have to go. But other people will go beyond the being aware of what's going on and start becoming self-aware and asking who they are. And as Andrew said about the oxygen mask and putting that on, this is not a kind of a selfish thing. I do believe we're all here. Number one, we all have a talent. We all have a God-given talent. Number two, we're all here in service to others. But we also have to be service to self, but not in a selfish way. We can't help people if we are suffering in our own way. So as Andrew said, we focus on ourselves and we work on our consciousness and our awareness. And once we have enough energy and knowledge and understanding, then we can move out and start rolling that out to people around us or people who want to know about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one thing that I realized, because I've been, my background is technical, and that's where I've been using that knowledge to further the aims of this wider, what I hope is going to be a wider awakening. And for example, I got involved with 9/11 research quite heavily back in 2005, but at that time, I still knew in myself that I was going to have to remain independent. I wasn't going to rely on a committee or a group or anything like that to allow me to get things done. I had to use my own abilities. For example, I produce a lot of DVDs, and I produce them as cheaply as possible so that I can give them away. And I also realized that I needed to keep my self-balance so that I could remain self-sufficient. And like, for example, though I do give away DVDs, I don't give them all away, because if I gave them every single one away, I would end up with no money and I couldn't continue to do what I do. You know, much as we can spend many hours discussing the evils of money and debt and the banking system and what a scam that all is, I still realized that I needed to remain balanced and self-sufficient to move forward and help other people to move forward when they wanted that help, and I couldn't force it onto them, because early on I tried to, not exactly force, but I was a bit hard on certain people, and then you just get the reaction, you've heard how, had these reactions yourself. And so you have to back off and realize that people, some people are ready, some people are going to take up and listen to you, take up the information, and some are literally, as I experienced, just going to fall asleep, literally, right in front of your eyes. So, and I mean physically fall asleep, I don't mean figuratively or consciously. That's just a few sort of bits of my experience.
I had a experience with a woman I gave DVDs to because she knew I was ex-monarch, mind control slave. And she said, "What's going on?" I said, "I'll give you some DVDs." I gave her DVDs on Friday and said, "I'll meet you on Tuesday and you can give them back to me and you can watch the DVDs this weekend." When I met her on Tuesday, she handed the stack of DVDs back to me, and they were on 9/11, vaccination, all kinds of stuff, banking system. And she handed the six DVDs back to me, and she said, in a voice of rage, "That was more information than I cared to know." And she never spoke to me again.
See, there's a lot of people that are programmed to not get it.
Well, what I'm saying is that is the subconscious mind control system that we get in the first 6 years of life in action. It rejects truth. And until you go to a place where I'm in for the all truth, I will follow and obey truth no matter what the culture says, you're camping out.
I termed this a while back the truth bubble. You speak to different people who hold the truth bubble too close to them. They don't want to expand. They don't want to hear that children are being messed with. They don't want to hear that the government is committing all kinds of crimes against them. They don't want to hear that the churches are committing all kinds of crimes from them. And so their truth bubble is too close. Basically, they've enclosed themselves in their own prison, within the prison. And so as you expand your truth bubble out, eventually you get to a point where you don't have to search for the information. The information comes to you. So you keep expanding your truth bubble. The information eventually reaches you, where you don't have to keep opening doors. As you keep expanding it, more and more doors open, so more and more information comes into you from the collective. And this is how it works. But there's people who hold their truth bubble far too tightly around them, and they're never going to learn. They can't. And you've got to expand the truth bubble. Eventually, like I said, the information that you need as an individual that's going to move you onto a different path or a better path or clear the path, the information comes to you rather than you searching for it.
Yeah, that's very true, Thomas. And that's my experience here as well. I mean, look at chemtrails. I mean, just to pick an easy one. I mean, it's obvious to see. You just have to look up in the skies and have to compare the regular stripes and the chemtrails. So, you know, it's easy to discover that something is going wrong up there. But not many people are willing to accept this. And, you know, I talk to many people in the street and I show them up those streaks here in the air. But they search for an answer, and they just say, well, it's a lot of air traffic today, so that's why. Coming back from wherever, I mean, here in Europe, it's Spain or something, yeah? So they're coming all back from Spain. That's the usual thing. I used to work in the Air Force, so I know this is all bullshit, right? So this is very, very obvious that they are not trying to wake up. So they are really closing in. I mean, they stay in the bubble, as you said. So that's my own experience here as well. So you, to become conscious, this is your own, let's say, task to become conscious. It cannot be told by anyone. I mean, you cannot educate people towards consciousness. I mean, you can try, but everybody has to become conscious himself or herself, right?
Yes.
Steve, you want to come in there, do you?
Yeah. I just wanted to say to Jay, in relation to that lady who you gave the DVDs to, we've actually come across this as well, and people, they see what you're doing, they see what you're about, and they come to you and go, okay, prove it to me. Give me something to make me believe anything that you're saying. So again, I would have done this in the past. I wouldn't do it now, but I wouldn't kind of start talking to people about chemtrails, 9/11, vaccines, or anything like that. But what I would ask them is, I would say, well, what's going on in your life at the moment? And I'd try and find something that was going on in their life that I could possibly give them information on, just, you know, bite-sized chunks. And I would say, well, okay, this is going on in your life. Have a look at that and see what you think of that. Come back to me and let me know. And, you know, if they come back to you, just on something, a small topic, and you can kind of have a chat about that. But I think if you bombard them with too much information too soon, you've lost them forever, because it's like the shields go up. It's like in Star Trek, the shields just come around, and that's it. I think they'll probably never look at any more information. Because I've had personal experience with that, and I'm sure a lot of people have, where we wake up to what's going on, and all we want to do is get all the information and give it to as many people as possible to try and wake as many people up as quickly as possible. But unfortunately, we're doing ourselves a disservice and the whole truth movement a disservice by the information overload. Because even in the PC, in the computer world, if there's an information overload, the system just shuts down. It can't cope. And I think that's true as well with the human brain. If you give it too much of a good thing, it will respond in the negative. So I think, you know, the next time if someone does come, find out what's important to them, what's worrying them at the moment. It could be taxation, it could be any number of things. And if you can just enlighten them and kind of win them over with a little piece, you know, a little piece at a time, then I think you'll definitely be on to a winner.
Yeah, you've got to wait for
that. I have to say that this incident happened in 2006. I was approached by her. And so I gave her the information with both barrels. I firmly agree that what you just said is the true method of awakening others. You have to actually engage in conversation with them and find an opening, and you have to be as gentle as possible to break someone out of the matrix. You have to be considerate of the fact that they are a mind control slave. And I couldn't agree more. And I don't do the sledgehammer method anymore.
Yeah, you're right, Jay. And there are also ideas that we most probably cannot wake up enough people. What is your view to that? Is it possible that many of the so-called mind control people will not have the chance to wake up?
Well, I think that we have an opportunity now due to the fact that people are getting back to true natural law philosophy and uniting with their higher selves. We all broadcast into the field and to one another. We are all entangled in a collective consciousness reality. And as people get higher and higher and closer to the source, their broadcast totally outweighs the broadcast of those who are under the mind control. And we are seeing that good people get better and the bad people get worse. And that phenomenon can only be explained in, where you put your attention is where the energy goes. And I think we're going to win this, but it's going to be sticky.
Yes.
One of the things I was going to say is to do with curiosity, because that's the thing that gets crushed at an early age. And this is, in other words, my best experiences with, trying to share information and so forth is when people are curious. And, if they're curious and they ask you about something, and I get, a few emails through my website, for example, and they'll be asking about certain topics or telling me of their experience, those are generally the better experiences for them, sort of ending up thanking me rather than either cursing me or getting angry, what I was going to say is it's kind of relating to what Jay said, that I think he mentioned the age of six, and that's perhaps about right. Maybe I was being a bit over optimistic, but I was listening to a chap called Frank Willis last year in a talk that he gave, and in Britain, I don't know if this is the same in other countries, we have a little convention that if you write a card or a letter to a young man, you won't address them as Mister, you'll address them as Master. So if somebody wrote to me, it'd be Master Andrew Johnson, and Frank Willis pointed out that the reason that title is used rather than Mister is that you use that up to about maybe the age of 10 or 12, and it's before that age that essentially you're master of your own thoughts. And by the age of 12 or around about that time, maybe you could argue it was as young as six, I don't know, but I think 10 or 12 seems more accurate. The curiosity is generally pretty much crushed out of people by the system. And like here in the UK now, in this educational system, you have to follow the national curriculum, and in the States you've got Common Core, and you have to just get into this rut, and you don't have this more open-ended sort of education. And of course, education shouldn't be indoctrination. Education means to lead out, to bring out, that you instinctively, you actually know everything, and it's just got to be brought out of you by a good guide or a good teacher. Maybe a teacher is not the right word, but so this idea is that what we can see around us, I think probably if your experience is the same as mine, the majority of people that we interact with outside of these sorts of conversations that we're having now are just not curious. They're just living hand to mouth, and they may have a couple of interests like playing some sports or doing a bit of gardening or something, but they're not really curious about the trails in the sky or why all of a sudden we've had all these quote-unquote terror events and all this nonsense. And that's one of the big problems, I think, and that's one of the results of the mind control, that people are no longer curious.
Yeah, well, this comes back to a couple of things. Is education is about following orders, and this applies to the Illuminati. They followed orders from their higher sources, the Covens, the Parents, and the Draco. And so we've got no leaders. The ones, the critical thinkers, the ones that think outside the box, the school system or crushes or attempts to crush many of those people, the deep thinkers. Now, the other thing you mentioned about age, this comes into, again, the birth certificate issue, because once you reach seven and haven't claimed your trust, you are classed as a dead person, lost at sea. So why should they educate dead people? This is how they think, the elite. Or L-ite, I think Karen mentioned it earlier. Ite is word, form, and element indicating origin, El means God. So these people think they're godlike. This is how they act. And of course, from the age of seven, you are a sovereign being up to seven. After seven, you haven't claimed your trust. You haven't claimed your identity. You haven't claimed your name. You are then classed as lost at sea and dead, and then the state claims your trust. So why should they educate dead people who can't own anything? That's the way they think, and we have to change that with knowledge.
Well, I think they have abducted our consciousness. Basically, that's the whole game, what it's all about. They have abducted our consciousness, and human beings, most of them, lost their identity. I think the only way out is that we are now trapped in the materialistic matrix. The only way that we can break through is through the process of spiritualization. And when I mean spiritualization, when I say spiritualization, I mean spiritualization, because what that means is a conscious interaction between the hierarchies, the Christ and the God, in a direct way. That is what religion means, and that's what we have to reattain. Without that, we are trapped. And his goal is that the seventh, the eighth sphere, that is one Ahrimanic, Ahriman is another name for Satan from the Persian mythology. Anyhow, this we are trapped in his matrix. And the only way out is that we really, through meditation, through the transformation of our chakras, through attaining of imagination, inspiration, and intuition, through the transformation of our thought life, our feeling life, and our will activity. Every movement of our hand is an activity of will, and we have to know that these are tools to which we can conquer the whole cosmos through these kind of three different forces, the thinking, the feeling, and the willing. And the negative forces know that. That's why they say, oh, we're only dust in the universe, but we're just not of any value. That's what they try to tell us. But every individual, every human being has the force through this transformation. And without that, there is no light at the end of the tunnel, that we have to really transform these forces and again have go in interaction, that we become a valuable partner to the higher spiritual community, and not some lies that are couch potatoes sitting around that are useless. We have to re-again and be part of this universe, be part of this creation in an interactive way. That is the only way out. That's what I think.
I agree. And, you know, I also think that an interesting thing to bring out is when I've been dealing with this illness in the past, and I tell you that the Medical Medium book is really great, but it makes sense now, and I see that just like most of us, I had been trying to power ahead mentally, even though I was spiritually connected, and I've always been spiritually connected. I see now, too, that when your body's poisoned by heavy metal toxins and things, spirit has a harder time getting through. So one of the things is I was looking at everything that's happening. I've read a lot of Dolores Cannon. I read hypnotherapy, a lot of different things, a lot of different ways to look at it. And over again, it just seems that life goes on. And so if life goes on, and I know that this transhumanism is all this huge push so that nobody dies, and I've come to kind of think of that this is a possibility. Because I don't know, and none of us really know. And religions try and tell us what we're supposed to do and what we're attached to, but those were all created by, you know, the evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists, which I do hope that you will use if you say elite. So in looking for this and in looking for truth, I've heard the best definition is Mark Passio, who says truth is what has happened and what is happening right now. And the truth, if you really look at it, can be moment to moment. And it's not only our interpretation, but if we truly believe, as so much research proves, or it proves it to me, that life goes on, this AI is simply another way for the controllers to avoid their karma. Because it looks to me like once your soul leaves your body, because we know that when we close our eyes, there something goes on in there when we're sleeping at night. But if, as quantum physics says, there's no out there, so that means the deeper you look at ourselves, the more it comes down to simply being energy and frequency and light. And so if we can think of that, and Gary Craig's website was great. You know, one of the people he interviewed spoke about, if I unzip my body, this decomposable suit, although she used a different adjective, then what you would see underneath here is a ball of light created by love, which is also within each one of us. And it's very difficult to see through that and realize that we're one, and it's our networking energy that is contributing to all of this. So the more we can focus on healing here and getting back to what is real, I think if we can lose the fear of death, then we can look for the truth, which in my opinion is happening now, and it's happened in the past, and it's beyond religions.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, separation is an illusion. And what Goethe said, nothing is inside, nothing is outside, because what is outside is inside. The microcosm and the macrocosm, that is all one. And at all that I have my little head, and here is the outside world, and this little point in my head is the inside, that is me, that's a complete illusion. That's the part of the Egyptian hierophants were told by their priest, that the higher priest, that that is an illusion, because we are all one. We are all one creation. That separation is a complete illusion, and that is very difficult to grasp. But without that, we cannot become gods, as to say. That is our real goal, to become equally with spirits and angels, and from that the higher transgression is to become God eventually. You know.
You mentioned transhumanism. That is coming in, whether we like it or not. It's on this timeline. But the problem where people are getting mistaken is transhumanism is not for the likes of the people who listen to this show. It's for the soulless entity. It's the soulless entities. There's more soulless entities in this system than people realize. It's not for the living souls, because Thomas, we go on anyway.
Is it a way for them to avoid their karma? Is that why this big push? Because no. They know? No, because it...
Carry on.
Well, it seems to me that if we look at a lot of supposed interference, whether it's reptilian, whether it's the Archons, the Anunnaki, whatever it is, there's been this big push all along with no empathy to just continue to obliterate life itself, which is very satanic, and recreate it in, you know, the LGBT world. So
yeah.
I was thinking that possibly if it's true, and again, I don't know if it is or not, I don't know most things, but people believe in religions that were definitely set up by the Illuminati, and in my opinion, they're not going deep enough. And whether or not Jesus exists, which I think, Jay, you mentioned earlier, my research looks like he didn't exist as a physical being on this planet. But I have to think, after all these years, thousands of years of people praying to him and loving him and all the rest of it, that he exists probably in all kinds of other dimensions. So could, and these other books say that when we die, if you're not fooled and put right back in here, you don't go back to the source of love, that the families that we supposedly see, the light that comes after all these NDEs, are really recycling us back into this earthly system, unless we consciously think about things like, okay, when my spirit leaves my body, I want to connect with my family. I want to maybe say hi to Jesus on the plane. He exists. And then I want to go directly to the source of all love. And I have that very strong belief. And I think what I'd like to know from anyone here is, it seems to me that losing our fear of death can also be very empowering in terms of making us take action and to look at why we're here. Because as I mentioned earlier with if there is no time, if we heal ourselves now, if we open up and truly become the best we can be right here and right now in the moments as we face them, and we don't feel guilty about causing our diseases because everything's stacked against us, there was a war declared against us years and years ago. Check out my blog page and look at listen to Deborah Tavares's new information there, or fairly new website. But so anyway, if we can, how do we get people to really lose their fear of death? And what, Thomas, are your thoughts on whether or not then possibly we were infected by the Anunnaki who knew all along, we've only got X amount of time before consciousness raises. We're going to keep the sun from giving the people light. That's why we're putting up chemtrails and whatever else we're trying to hide out there. Because if we keep ourselves alive and if we cycle our bodies, like Rockefeller may be in a clone now, as well as Zabrinsky and all that, that we don't have to really pass over into the spirit side. And that way, instead of actually facing our guides and going into why we did things and having to make reparations, if we continue to keep our consciousness just channeled here, we won't have to face our own karma.
Death is a religious construct, top and bottom of it. It's to take you away from yourself and to give your power away to other entities acting as source. That's the whole premise of religion. To give your power away. In essence, the human vessel are batteries for the soulless entities. Now, the transhumanism for them, because once we die, we go on. Death is a new beginning. It's not an end. And so the soulless entities can't carry on except in this system. Now, the soul traps was ended in 2014. So more and more people are going out into the cosmos. So that means they're losing batteries. So they need to create transhumanism to keep themselves going. And that is what they're hoping to achieve. It's not for us. We're the battery. We have just got to stop providing the energy that feeds their juice. This is where the archons come in. They're just energy feeders. We are the batteries. We have to cut off their supply.
So they're not interested in their... I know it does sound like a religious deal, but... So you don't think that there's any of that? They just want to stay here longer, and they're not concerned with a karmic bond.
No, a soulless entity doesn't have any karma. This is why they have no empathy, no compassion. It's a soulless, empty vessel.
Ah, okay. Okay. So then...
So they want to continue. It's we that feed them. But if we stop feeding them and they know it's coming, we're going to find out who and what we are and what we've been trapped in this system. And we're going to escape from it. That leaves them dead. They're dead anyway. It's only us that gives them life.
Interesting.
Once we pull that power away, they have no life. They're just an empty vessel. It's like a clone.
There's a comment in the chat room here that, how would you respond to someone saying with passion, I ain't nobody's battery?
Good on you. Good on you. The more that people stop giving consent... We have to start. I've started introducing the word magic, because this has been the downfall of man. Word magic, because we just say words and sayings without realizing what we're doing with those spells. That's why they call it spell. It's
consciousness.
Magic.
Consciousness starts also with CON, which is a con.
Consciousness comes from outside of here. It's not in the physical realm. It manifests in the physical realm, but it doesn't start here.
I just mean the wording itself.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're looking at the prefix, it's con.
Yeah. But then they have inverted everything. It's like the original Illuminati. They were good people, the Gnostics. They were the teachers. But it got twisted into what it's become now. It's satanic entities, soulless entities, plus hybrids and a range of negative ETs.
So then, so, what would your definition of truth be?
Truth comes from within. only you know your own truth. We can discuss that you believe this and I believe that, but the truth comes to you. So it's like what I said earlier. People say they've been abducted by ETs, and they can get very graphic, but they can't prove it. That's their truth. Now, eventually, as more of the truth comes out, which is what's happening now, which is why people are overloaded, it's why people are getting sick, because the energy that they've retained for most of their life of the lies and the traumas that have gone on in their life, the baggage is kept in. Jay mentioned it earlier about dealing with our shadow sides, doing your inner work. Once you clear that negative frequency out, I'm going to address this to Jay. Jay keeps saying he is an ex-survivor. Jay, change the words around. I conquered. Not I was an ex this, or I had this illness. I overcame the illness. It changes the frequency of what you're saying. Because by keep pulling yourself back in to I was an ex this, monarch survivor, you're pulling yourself back, you're time traveling yourself back to the trauma each time you say it. Now, dealing with your shadow side, you let that go and you change the word terminology of I overcome their monarch program. Not I was an ex. That's how they use the word magic on us, and it's so important for people to start studying etymology and where these words originated from. And a lot of them came from the church, the Roman Catholic Church.
I'll just like to make a point, because you mentioned it's quite interesting. You mentioned Gnostics and Gnosticism just at the point I was starting to think about that, because my understanding of Gnosticism is that Gnosticism means essentially inner knowing.
Yes.
And you're encouraged to look into yourself to find out things, perhaps more so than looking outwards. And so this exactly ties in with being a sovereign being who has a soul and, you know, has their own purpose. And it's the finding knowledge, which I regard as the opposite of having a belief. You know, if you have a belief, then you're relying on somebody else to give you that information and give you that idea, and you think that that's true. You know, so you're taking on somebody else's belief as your truth, when Gnosticism is the opposite of that, where you're looking and finding your own knowledge based on your own life experience and based on the world around you and making observations. And I think it's those sorts of areas that people can also start to explore and find out about if they want to become more sovereign in themselves and more sovereign of their own thoughts and their own actions and taking responsibility for themselves.
Yeah, and Thomas was talking about frequencies as well. I mean, the higher the frequency, the better the chance that we wake up or that we get connection back to our basics. Now, yes. What kind of techniques are you aware of can be used, apart from what we've been discussing so far, in order to reach these higher frequencies, also to the benefit of all the others which are sort of reluctantly or not awakening?
What we put together on the THI, Truth, Honor and Integrity group, was a document called Grounding, Centering and Shielding. It's the best thing to start off with. Grounding yourself to the Mother Earth. Centering, I mentioned earlier about the metronome. We're swinging from one side to the other, over excitement and depression, which is loose energy, which feeds the Archon world. If we stay in the center, where the metronome stops, we're in the balance. We have a mixture of light and we have a mixture of dark. We have a choice. We don't swing too far. We all have light in us, but we also have dark. We can't just dismiss dark as not relevant, because both are. It needs to be in balance. And so the centering is bringing yourself into balance. If you're in yourself in balance, you're not allowing others to impose on you something that doesn't resonate with you. And the shielding is to is for the benefit of people who are coming under psychic attack or suffering certain things in the dream world. Shielding is important now because we're getting bombarded. You can shield yourself from the negative frequencies and the negative attacks. So once you adapted that, you've dealt with your shadow side, get rid of all your old trauma. You know, if you were abused when you were younger, forgive yourself, forgive the people, and let it go. That then is allowing better frequencies that's coming into this planet currently to be absorbed within the self, and you are able to operate better. If your vessel is full with trauma and negative frequencies because such and such did this or such and such did that, we've all gone through bad things. But if you keep holding on to it, you're going to manifest it again. This is how it works. And they know this. And so we have to counteract that. Let it go. Forgive them. Forgive the cabal even for what they've done. And create your own identity and a new life operating within yourself at the higher frequency. Because like finds like.
I want to make a quick point here. And this also was from Jay, who had turned me into Gary Craig and his ETF.com. And he talked about forgiveness. And I know that some of the things that keep us stuck here are forgiveness, anger, things like that. And using the theory of, I guess the proven quantum physics, that the deeper you get into looking at an object or even yourself, the less solid it appears until all of a sudden there's no out there. So if there's no out there, we're all doing this to ourselves. And what true forgiveness he talks about, which I am working on, but I've also noticed being ill all this time, so I wanted to say quickly, I apologize for all my mood swings and crankiness. I've recently noticed that I have had so many things going on inside of me that mood swings have been part of a nutrition deficit that I wasn't even aware that I had because I was taking other things, but not real live food. But anyway, Gary Craig says, when we have a dream at night, no matter how bad it is or how it affects us, when we wake up, we still wake up. And so basically, it's like an illusion. It's like it never really happened at all. So no matter how traumatic it is, we're still here. So I'm starting to look at my life like a waking dream. Because when I do pass over to the other side and I unzip this biodegradable suit, I am a ball of light which will connect with a ball of light that is within each and every one of us individually and is part of the greater picture, like a drop in the ocean. So it is very important as to what you think. And total forgiveness, true forgiveness, he says, is really knowing that we've all been lied to, we're all dreaming, and some people are dreaming a lot more deeply than we are. And the problems and the anger and the crap that we have to deal with, what I'm also working real hard on is thinking to myself, okay, they're dreaming a little more deeply than I am, and here's another chance to go within and let go, because when I do pass on, it's letting go of everything that doesn't serve and allowing what does. So I think it's important to check out ETF.com and think about true forgiveness, which means that anything that we're seeing outside of ourselves is actually another expression of ourselves or this life force that is just getting experience. And we are filtering as we go, but the more that we can really look with compassion and forgiveness, I think the better it will be for all of us. Go, Jay.
I just have to say that when my parents ex-murdered someone, and I would get very upset about it, they would laugh, and the other occultists would laugh. and say, we didn't really hurt that person. They'll just go back to source and get another body. And I just want to say that, you know, I did remote viewing at 3 years old to the soul catcher that's on the moon. And my mother said that the negative ETs are broadcasting from the moon, like David Icke says, a frequency that is holding us down. But, you know, the poisoning of the morphogenic field can be cleaned up if each one of us starts to change their broadcast from the subconscious and conscious mind. And this is something that EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, can do for you. EFT, Psyche, swaying, anything you can use in the energy psychology modalities to change your subconscious, which is a million to one more powerful than your conscious mind in communication to the divine field, you better get on board with it. And let me tell you, when you try to change your subconscious mind through meditation and energy psychology, you're going to get a fight on your hands that's going to wake you up to the real programming of this world. And I just want to say, when it comes to forgiveness, I have forgiven the cult for what they did to me. They stole my life from me. But I want to say, when it comes to hate, it's like drinking poison, expecting your enemy to die. Yeah. Over.
Well said, Jay. Yeah, it's it is difficult, but it's so important we release the traumas, because what happens is say you were abused by a parent or an uncle at six, the vessel creates an altar for that time. So every time it comes up, if you haven't released it, you are, in essence, time traveling back to that age. You have the same sensations. You have the same smells. You know what color the walls are. You have transported yourself back in time to that trauma.
Absolutely. And if you,
so then you're re-experiencing that whole event again. Well, how is that frequency-wise helping the individual or the spirit? It's not. It's basically eating you away. And so you have to let it go. As you let it go, all the altars that we've all created, you know, some of the super soldier stuff, they create altars for different reasons. Splitting the brain, splitting the mind. Your bearing mind is what feeds the mind. Is the reptilian cortex. That's part of the reptilian genetics that have been installed. We have to shut the mind down and operate from the heart. That's what meditation does. It clears all the chatter that's sort of swirling around in our brains and shuts it all down. And so then you are operating in the heart center, and then you are thinking and acting from within. That's the key to the meditation. Shut the chatter and the noise down. It comes from the reptilian side.
I have to say that Max Eakin is doing great work, and he has done quite a bit of ayahuasca in his life. We know now that through genetics, we have 15 or 14 generations of memories given to us, at least, from our ancestors that are in our DNA. This trauma is in our DNA. We have to go and take the trash out. And we do this because we're epigenetic creatures, and we decide what genes are turned on and which are switched off. And it's all about controlling the thought and mind, and it's work. And we've been taught the exact opposite by the society on how to live. And we have to go back to what John Lamb Lash, in his great book, Not in His Image, talks about. We have to go back to goddess nurturing mythology in thought and action, and be nurturers of ourself and our world. His book, Not in His Image, has a chapter on the predator-prey bonding that the reptilians have given the human race. It's a, you have to read it like a dozen times because it's so profound. And we stand now, because of the internet, in a place where information has broken through that has not been given to us since the cataclysm of 9600 BC. We can stand on the backs of giants like Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Mark Passio. Bruce Lipton has got some stuff on the web right now that is mind-blowing. And all I have to say is Joe Dispenza's books are indispensable. And you have to get to know thyself. You have to know your physiology. You have to know your chemical bonding and your receptors. And once you understand what the game is, then you can go within and become an overcomer.
Yeah, one of the things
that's very important. I would say that we know who we are and our daily consciousness is because we have a day consciousness. Yeah. And we don't have a continuous consciousness. And the status quo of the situation, what we have now, is that in our daily consciousness, there comes a, when we go to sleep, there comes a dream period, and then comes a deep sleep period. And that is for our collective consciousness like this. But when we do higher meditation, these things change. That means through transformation of our chakras, we have now access in our dream world to enter, to leave our body and enter through the dream world into the spiritual world. And that is a portal, so to speak, which materialistic science does not say. They think the status quo, what is now, has always been in the past and will always be like this in the future. That is a very big mistake. So through our transformation, we alter our state of being. And when we alter our state of being, we also alter the world. That is the big thing. The more we come, the more we become the divine, the more we change our own self, our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own actions, then the so-called work world, as the old mystical said, that is changing. So in the Bible, it is referred to when the lion eats together grass with the sheep. And that is the state to be achieved. And I think we can do it because all these evil stage kind of operations, what they're doing, basically at the end, God will ask every human being the deed. Did you do this with your own free will? That is a basic key question. Was that your free will? And what was not done in that kind of a perspective, under that frame, won't count. And we have to take this into consideration, that only what we do in full-hearted and out of free will, that is counting. Over.
Part of the problem we face as humans is limitation. We limit ourselves. We put ourselves in boxes. I am a joiner, or I am a painter, or I am this, or I am that. You know, it's about broadening who and what you are. You are part of Source. You are part of Creator. Go and create. Don't box yourself up. Don't. You always hear the term, I can't change anything, little old me. No, you can change everything. It's about you believing in yourself. No one on this planet is more important than you. Nobody. And if you keep putting other people or other gods on the pedestal, you're erasing your own power. No one is more important. We have to stop limiting what we are and what we can do and stand in the I am mode.
What is really good about what David Icke says, I am infinite consciousness, and I think we need to understand why Göbekli Tepe, the Turkish monolith temple that was found recently. It's 10,000 plus BC old. It's a time capsule that was given to us by our ancestors. And when anthropologists look at Göbekli Tepe, they say, well, from what we can see from the designs of this temple, it's saying that you can never be separated from the Godhead. And when you look at Joe Dispenza's books, I Am the Placebo, or How to Break the Habit of Being Yourself, he talks about the real physiology of the human, and we are getting help physiologically from source every second. There are so many chemical and biological actions going on in our 50 trillion cell body that we are literally energy beings.
Over. Yeah.
Well, it looks like we're getting close to the end. We are our own bosses, but it seems like we're kind of winding down. I really have enjoyed this conversation. This is a great, forthright conversation about issues that really concern us all, and I'm very happy with some of the suggestions that are made. I think at this time, what I'd like to do is go back again and just for closing thoughts, to have each of us put in a closing thought, and so it won't probably end in 4 minutes, but just kind of take a few minutes to say what you feel and then hand it over. And again, thank you very, very much for participating. Thanks for your honesty. Jay, thank you for being as direct as you could be. We don't always have to agree here, but we're learning. Thomas, I liked what you had to say about Jay with still bringing up the old baggage and stuff. So there's a lot to learn, folks, and we're grateful to be here because now United We Strike is really about protecting life, protecting ourselves, protecting our children, and taking account of ourselves because nobody else can do it for you. And when you do get to the other side, do you want to just make excuses or do you want to see if right here and right now we can heal more than just ourselves and our bodies? So, Jay, thank you very much for joining me. Why don't you give us some final thoughts here? And when you're finished, Michael, will you pick it up? And then, Michael, you hand it off to somebody else.
Right. Okay.
I just want to say that this has been a great conversation, and I look forward to putting it on my YouTube. Thomas has really knocked it out of the park, as has all the other contributors. And we are in a time where the information we need to change this paradigm is right at our feet, and we need to not just know it, but make it a part of our being. And it's who you are being that matters, not just conscious thought, but the whole person. Everything you do, make it a sacred thing. And it takes work, and I'm working at it, and all I'm saying is, you know, I'm all in for the all truth. Over.
Mike? All right. Those are very good thoughts. Basically, when you sum it up, the general question, when you stand in front of your creator, and then the question is, then what did you do in life? And the most important thing that we all can do in our lives is to generate love in all situations, attain wisdom and self-awareness. And whatever we do, we should do it out of the act of love. So that should be the basic thing which we act out of love in all the situations. And when we can, it's not easy to do it, but I mean, the more and more we try, we can do it. And if we have achieved at least 50% of it, then we can say we have been living a valuable life. Over.
I'd like to read out what I wrote, and I'll say at the end of each show, this will fit in. If you lead life in love and care, you will prevail. If you lead life in fear and anger, you will fail. Feel free for you to be the person you wish to be, not the person who conforms to others, what others want them to be. You are a multidimensional being operating simultaneously on many levels. You are not here to conform. You are not here to be stifled. You are not here to be enslaved, and you are not here to be abused or to compete with your friends, family, or neighbors. You are here to be the best you can be and do so as the crown of creation. Now go out with the confidence of who and what you are and excel in yourself, and in doing so, inspire others. Thank you.
Very good. I'll jump in, if that's okay. Very good, Thomas. I would just say, bring them back to basics. There's fantastic information that we talked on the marathon today. All the guests, all the information. But I want to bring it back to what I said earlier about Aristotle's quote. And the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. Sometimes we go down the rabbit holes and we come back up. And we meet somebody who is just about to go down the rabbit hole, and we might feel like, look, we want to stop them because don't waste your time. There's nothing down there. But sometimes then people still have to go down the rabbit hole. So we have to pull back and let them do that, because maybe sometimes people are further down the path than others, and they're learning as much as we are. So they sometimes have to go down the rabbit hole. But all I'll say is, let's just be able to entertain a thought. We don't have to accept it, but at least if we keep challenging our belief system, it's healthy and we keep learning that way. So as long as we keep doing that, we'll keep growing and our consciousness will keep expanding.
Steve?
Okay, I'll go next. Well, my thoughts are, as I say to a lot of people, that we're all on a journey. And as Alan kind of mentioned there as well, we are on a journey. And just because I've been down a road, it doesn't give me the right to try and tell someone else that they shouldn't go down the road, or try and give them information that they will, that they're going to learn maybe 6 months or a year's time. I shouldn't give them that information now, because they're on a journey as well. And I think it's a journey that we each individual needs to take at their own pace. There's no point in trying to force anyone to catch up or to get there any quicker. I think it's an individual journey. Each one of us is going to take it one step at a time, and hopefully there will be an end goal, and we will all reach it, and we will make the world a better place.
Delif?
Yeah. Thanks, Garen. Thanks to everybody who was participating today in this great marathon. Well, I think we've learned a lot here from everybody who's done great work. And let's reach for the highest frequency, which is available, and it's love. And we have our target in front of us, our objective, if you want to. So let's reach for it. So that's my output here from this conversation.
Thanks.
Can I just jump in again there very quickly? I know you guys haven't really said much about the amount of work that Detlev and Karen has put into the United with Strike Marathon, but I know the two of you are dedicated more than anybody with the marathon, and I'm sure we all would like to thank Detlev and Karen for the amount of work that they've put into the marathon and what they do on a monthly basis. It's been going a long time now. And as an ex-producer of the marathon, I know how much and how involved it can be and how much time it can take up. So I'd just like to say, on behalf of myself, I'm sure all of us, thanks to Detlev and Karen for what you're doing.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you here as well. I mean, you've put a lot of work behind the initiative of United with Strike as well. So don't forget yourself.
That's right, Alan. And everyone here, thank you so much. This has really turned out better than I was hoping for, because we've all been able to come and share some information and really come from the heart, which is what we have to do. People have to stop thinking with their crotches and start thinking with their hearts and about protecting life. We all have a divine umbilical cord, and it's definitely time to plug it in. If you liked what you heard, please share this program, because these ideas need to be out there. Post the links on your facial, on your Facebook, on your other social medias if you're using them. And also, what I'd like to do is start encouraging people to use our chat room Ununited We Strike. We're from different parts of the globe here, and so you can think about taking our power back and not using their social media. But if you got something that comes up, and I want to invite you guests as well, when you're doing something now, post what you're doing in our chat room at United We Strike so that we can follow you as well and keep connecting and keep coming together. And Jay, I did a little bit of promo on Republic Broadcasting earlier when Alan was interviewing William or Thomas, and I noticed I just lost my thought because I'm thinking way too fast. Wait, it'll come. About action plans. And Jay, I quickly want to mention that one of your action plans is for people, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but to start printing out the information of the vaccines that are the real studies that are done on healthy children versus unhealthy children. So we start to put that together and realize these are toxins, definitely. I mean, all these dead doctors. So we've got to really start paying attention on every level. And if you help us share this message and put links in the chat room and try and help us really build up this site, we'll have another place of real consciousness with a variety of movements and things to do. And get that vaccine information because, Jay, the fact that one vaccine for a newborn baby, the one with Hep B, is equivalent to me walking into a doctor's office and having 30 shots at the same time is just mind-blowing.
This is something along with cannabis that we need to address right now. Of course, there's Fukushima, geoengineering, GMO. We're under attack. But I have to say that I really, really think this has been one of the best discussions I've been involved with, and the quality of the minds and hearts here has truly impressed me.
That's wonderful. I was hoping for that, and I hope too that you will use our links. And Thomas, it's really a pleasure to get to poke around inside your head, and I would like to continue this, and also possibly to guest. Also, I'm open to guest because my job here it truly is to be the best I can be. It's not about me, and I have to admit that in the past I had more ego involved, but I truly want us to stand shoulder to shoulder. And I understand as well that my anger and a lot of the my mood swings had to do with the nutrition I wasn't getting, even though I thought I was getting it by eating processed organic foods and things like that. It doesn't work. So, again, I'm only on day 3 of this. It's on my blog. I'll update it there. But if you can help us grow, help us reach these minds and hearts so we can have that big aha moment. Not the 100th monkey. We're not animals. Which reminds me, Thomas, please start calling children children. The controllers, the evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists call them kids to be animals, like goats. Yeah, so it's one hard to break.
One of the things people can do with the vaccines, I know people have messaged me over the forcing the kids into having vaccines, or the children to go into school. Get them to write up a contract. So the person that administers the vaccine is personally responsible for the vaccine, and put a lien on it of $1,000 or $1 million, sorry. If the child becomes ill after this vaccine, the person who administered it is personally responsible for the content, and get them to sign it before the vaccine.
That's great. Andrew, I haven't meant to forget you.
That's okay. Thank you very much to everyone here, and it's been a pleasure for me to be involved as well. So thanks to all the producers and all the speakers, and I've learned some interesting thoughts and ways of looking at things from the speakers here. I just wanted to add a few words that I found there is still a lot of deception around, and I think one theme is that you may get some truth from certain people, but then they will also accidentally or deliberately put out further deceptive thoughts and information, And I've written a lot about that on my website, checktheevidence.com, which you can download stuff from there and listen to various interviews and things. And I'd just like to sort of mention a person called Richard D. Hall, who's done a lot of evidence-based research in the UK. And people might like to look at his website. I've done a number of interviews with him, and he's interviewed a number of other people on some of the topics we've touched on tonight. I just think that you need to be master of your own mind, your own intellect. You can listen to other people, be guided by other people, but you should choose your own direction and try to be cognizant of, you know, any consequences of what you might do or what you might say, and how that might benefit others or indeed affect them. And I like what John Lear said some years ago. He says if you can live your life without envy, hate, or greed, and love your family, then that I think is a pretty good maxim to live by.
That's an excellent, excellent final thought. Does anyone have anything else before we wrap it up here that they'd like to contribute?
Well, I have a couple of last thoughts, because a lot of these New World Order tenebristi, I call them the dark forces, that from Latin tenebre, which means darkness, I think they also have the way of interpretation of the wording. They set the frame of the wording, and we say New World Order. Actually, we should say New Slave Order, or for instance, like the Tenebristi, the Illuminati. They're not full of light. Illuminate means light, and it is wrong. It is darkness, which means tenebre. So they should call the Tenebristi, not the Illuminati. So they turn the twist the things around.
Yeah.
So that is the corruption of the words, and we should really try to be honest and say that to connect the right concept to the right nature of the thing. That's what I wanted to add.
Agreed. But anyone else?
Like think tanks, we can actually call them stink tanks, not think tanks.
There you go. That's exactly what they are. Well, that's why also I hope people resonate with that evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicist, because it nails them. And if that's what they want to be called, we ought to know exactly what that means. Now, anybody else, any final anything?
I think we leave the last word to yourself and Detlev, Karen.
All right. Well, Detlev, why don't you go first?
Let me go last, because I'm announcing then the music.
Oh, all right. Well, then... Actually, what I would like to do is I'm going to share then something that it seems like my insides are telling me to do, and that is I forgot to ask you to get a glass of water, but since supposedly there's no time in quantum physics and everything else, the next glass of water that you have, this is a prayer for the water, because one thing that I've been working toward too is trying to heal not only the water inside me, but the water outside of me, because we're all composed of water. And there's such an assault on water everywhere. You know, they're poisoning the water in everything, and in the ground, in the skies, in the oceans. So we do need to really focus on water, because water has memory, and water is healing. And now you'll have to pardon my tiredness and everything else, but this is my prayers kind of come through with a little melody, so I'll just make it short and sweet. But the words, if you close your eyes and listen to the words, that's the message, because all I can be is a messenger for the greater spirit of life, which wants to be protected. Father, you are present everywhere. Mother Earth, you ground me to your majesty and miracles. Holy water, I am your daughter. Thank you for the gifts you've given me. Thank you for the water, which is life and holds her memory. Holy water, bless your sons and daughters. Thank you for returning to the essence of your purity, within and without me. Namaste. Thank you all very much. Please share this information like your life depended on it, because it does. To you, Detlef.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Karen. I think she needs an applause. Huh?
Well, if you can hear that on the mic.
Yeah, okay.
Still full of it.
Okay. Yeah. So, thanks, everybody. We are at the end of our show. We will be listening to some music, and then we will switch over to our archives. Thanks a lot. We will have our podcasts soon available, so you can listen to all the show parts later on, and maybe one or the other video is coming. And if somebody is making a video from his part of the show, please send us a link, and we can put this into our archives as well. So thanks a lot, everybody, and see you the next time. When is the next marathon?
The next marathon is July 8th, and we're waiting. Mark Anderson may be hosting, because it looks like you've got other plans there for July. So if Mark Anderson is going to get back to me first about taking your spot, and he'll book a guest. And then the other booked guest so far, or confirmed guest, is Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com, who actually helped me set up the original United We Strike, or Tax-Free 15 is what it was way back then. And he's also introduced me to Louise Sutton, who's part of Full Circle Project. So they'll both be guests next month, and hopefully each of you who have been here today will help us, will tune in, and you know, put your questions in the chat room or comments, because we can't grow without you. It's not up to us. We're just here trying to do what we can to offer advice and education. Well, not maybe advice, but what we've learned. But we all have to find it by ourselves. So thank you again, and here, Detlef, back to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, so it looks my machine has frozen, sort of. Too much talking, too many high topics, hot topics. So I don't know whether I can make it or I have to restart. Let's see. Yeah, funny. Okay, so we will stop the marathon now. And if you hear some music, it's fine. If not, well, then just wait a little. Yeah, I have to restart my machine here. So, see you later. Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye.